Welcome to the pulpit ministry of Alliance Baptist Church. Hi, this is Jerry Bishop, and I want to thank you for listening today. Here at Alliance Baptist, we believe in proclaiming the glory of God, the wonderful good news of the gospel, the lordship of Christ, and the authority of Scripture over our lives. May the Lord bless you, and may you grow in the knowledge of Him today as you listen.
We will have been with Baptist Mid-Missions this coming July for 32 years, and most of our ministry has been Hispanic church planting. And we're currently in a church plant using the facilities of Calvary Baptist Church in Grand Rapids. And in fact, 3 weeks from this morning, we're going to have an organizational service. We will become Iglesia Bautista Internacional. International Baptist Church, formally. And then the next step after that is to incorporate the work. And we're in the process right now, the congregation is, in talking with one of our deacons. He's a bus driver for the city of Grand Rapids, a godly man. And we're trying to discern if the Lord is calling him to the work of the ministry, and he may become the pastor of that work. So we observed in the past, in Dominican Republic and Santo Domingo. After that, we worked with international students at Western in Kalamazoo for 6 years. Then we spent time in Santiago, Chile, and as I mentioned, for the past 6 years now in the Hispanic church planting there in Grand Rapids. So, again, it's a pleasure and a delight for us to be here with you. Pray for our return trip after the morning service. We want to get on the road because tomorrow we have a special service to welcome the new year with our folks there in Grand Rapids. And, of course, you never know, just far from home, what the roads are going to be like. So think about that and pray for us. Well, I would like to share with you folks about resolutions that can revolutionize. Resolutions. You know, we're here in the very last service, the last Sunday service of this year. And some folks have as their custom just to review the year and to think about what they're going to do differently in the year to come. The pastor mentioned one of the most important things that all of us could do, and that would be to attempt to read through all of the scriptures at least once in this coming year. So when we talk about resolutions, you know, obviously the word resolutions really involve resolve. Resolve, the will to do what we have set out to do. And that's why I've entitled this Resolutions That Can Revolutionize. Now, if it's just an intellectual exercise, of course, that's not going to do much for us, is it? And I think all too much of our Christian life is what we carry around right here above our shoulders. A lot of it never gets to our life, does it? And God wants to change us. You folks know this. So, what are some of the challenges? Well, for many people, life is a series of challenges accompanied by limited resources and interspersed with fleeting illusions of accomplishment. For many people, life is a series of challenges accompanied by limited resources and interspersed with fleeting illusions of accomplishment. It's kind of like the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter. In that portion of chapter 7 and verse 5, he said that when they got to Macedonia, he said, "Our flesh had no rest." Some of you may feel that way. "Our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side." Outside were conflicts, and inside, you remember what he said? Were fears. Wow. You've been living that way? Well, what are we going to do about it? May I suggest to you that the very first resolution is key to all the rest. And I say all the rest, we're only going to deal with five this morning. And I realize that we all make choices, and during and after this service, we're going to choose what we're going to do with these resolutions. Say, well, that was interesting listening to Pablo this morning. Sometimes going to church, I know, is like going to Walmart. You go in there and, wow, you can just pick and choose, you know, whatever you want. Sometimes we practice selective obedience with the scriptures. Well, you've got to get this first one. You've got to get this first one. Because the first one talks about enabling. Enabling. And we're talking about the fact that I can't, we can't, but God can. Okay? Enabling. God is the great enabler. And we're not talking about another government program either. The government likes to enable, don't they? Some would call that control. Let's turn to a very familiar portion of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. And some of you already know where we're going. Ephesians chapter 5. We're talking about being under the influence. Any of you law enforcement folks out there, you encounter that, don't you? Being under the influence. But here, we have both the negative part and the positive, the enabling part. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 18, he says, "Do not be drunk with wine. Don't be under the influence of a foreign substance." Sometimes we have pill-popping rituals that we go through. Get us going in the morning. And then we have pill-popping rituals at night to help us rest and sleep. He says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation." There's just waste in that. It's wasteful, useless. "But be filled with the Spirit." And you know that what the Apostle Paul is really saying here is, continue to be filled. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. The filling of the Spirit, I'm sure you know this also, is talking about His control in our lives. God wants to control us. And if He fills our life, if He controls our life, He is enabling us to do His will at the same time. It's interesting that a parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3, do you remember that? Starting at verse 16, the Apostle Paul writing to the Colossians there in that portion of Scripture, he says, "Let the word of Christ," or the word of God, "dwell richly in your heart." In other words, let the word of God fill you. Let the word of God control you. Let the word of God be that controlling factor in your life. And the results are the same, whether you're filled with the Spirit of God here in Ephesians chapter 5, or that which the Spirit of God uses, which is His Word, the Scriptures, to control us, in Colossians chapter 3, the results are exactly the same. Do you remember what the first result is mentioned here? See that word right there? That's what it is. It talks about singing. Singing in your heart, right? Now, some of you husbands, hey, wife, that's okay if you... some of you could stand more of that. Joy. So there's a quick checkup that all of us can do. All of us can use this. How about the joy factor in my life? If the Spirit of God is controlling, we can have joy, as Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. Remember in chapter 1, his first letter, he says, even in the midst of great tribulation, what did they have? Great joy. This really depends upon relationship, and it does not depend upon circumstances. Now, you can be happy. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here, those who are under the influence. Yeah, you can get happy, but oh, there's a terrible price to pay afterwards. Some of you have been there. I trust you have been there, as in the past. So, This is enabling. I'm going to give you folks a chance to respond later on in this service. But let me just suggest that we're talking about this resolution. I resolve by the grace of God that I will walk each day in the fullness of the Spirit. That's not very novel, is it? Anyone have itching ears this morning? Sorry. There's nothing new here. But if you don't do this one, you won't be able to do the next four. And we could have listed 40 from the Scriptures. Resolutions based upon the Word of God, the will of God. But you got to get this one. Because if not, remember, I can't, you can't, He can. And He wants to. Amen? Wake up, boy, wake up. Okay. The very first thing is this enabling. And the very first evidence, if God is in control, our life is going to be full of joy. Joy. Yeah. Isn't that neat? How about direction? So, well, direction. Well, yeah, well, I live over here, you get on this road. No. We're talking about something greater than that. Which way? Where to? We're talking about how our life is oriented. Let's look at another very, very familiar passage of Scripture back in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. Matthew, chapter 6. And if I say verse 33, then you already know where we're going. Most of you. Some of you. Matthew 6:33. It's very interesting that in this context, the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to His disciples about, really, daily provision, daily living, subsistence living, if you please. And He's talking about food and clothing and things of this nature. And right in the middle of this, notice what He says in Matthew chapter 6, and let's read verse 32. For all these things the Gentiles seek, the nations are seeking these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Yes, we need food, we need clothing, and so on. But, and here it goes, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. So the Lord says, if we get our life oriented correctly, biblically, if we get the direction right, everything else will fall in place. And in this case, He's talking about what? Making Jesus the king of our lives. Where there is a kingdom, there is a king. Right? Peter said something very similar. Let me just read it. You don't even have to turn there. I'm going to read 1 Peter 3:15. You can turn there if you want. We don't normally think about this verse in 1 Peter 3:15 about the person of Christ, the position that He wants to occupy. Normally we use this verse in talking about a defense of the gospel, the apologetic, because that's what this word is here. But in 1 Peter 3:15, the Apostle Peter starts out in the first part of the verse, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And he's just saying here, let Christ be Lord. Let Christ be Lord. Give Him first place. That's what Jesus was saying. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said, the rule, my rule in your life. I want to be your king. And not only that, he said, then work on making my character part of your character, the dominant part of your character. And Peter goes on to talk about, you know, if people ask about the hope that is within us, then we can give a reasoned defense or apologetic of the gospel, why we believe. If you thought about it, there is, from this verse, we can conclude that hope is something that others can see. Certainly they can see joy or the lack thereof in our life, but others can also see if we have any hope. People will ask about, hey, there's something different about you. How come you don't run with these other guys? And then we have an opportunity to tell them with meekness and reverence, as Peter says. Matthew chapter 28. If you're still in Matthew, would you go to chapter 28 with me, please? Again, a very, very familiar portion of Scripture, and one that we routinely ignore in our daily living. We ignore it as individuals, we ignore it as families, we ignore it as a church, as a congregation. And yet, you may have in your Bible a little subtitle there between verses 17 and 18. It talks about the Great Commission. We'll see the Great Commandment later on, but here's the Great Commission. What is the essence of the Great Commission? This is a question. This is a legitimate question. What is the essence of the Great Commission as outlined here in Matthew 28, 18 through 20? Can someone tell me?
Missionary work.
Missionary work, okay. And specifically? Who said that? Give that guy another cookie. That's it! I'm sure you've all heard or read in the past, you know, that the emphasis, and oftentimes in our English Bibles, and Spanish also, the emphasis is upon the go! Well, you understand, of course, that it's literally as you go or in your going, then comes the imperative. Make disciples! Well, if we're not testifying of Christ, if we're not winning souls, it's hard to have a disciple. But that's what Christ says. Now, look at the authority with which he speaks in verse 18. What is he saying here? Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, this is after he was risen from the dead. This is the risen Christ, the Lord of glory. And he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. He says, I am Lord of all. Go and make disciples. Resolution number 2. I resolve that by the grace of God I will make Christ the King of my life and allow His character to be reproduced in me. Does that sound reasonable? Amen! Some of you are still thinking about your lunch. Okay. Enabling, direction. As we think about resolution number 3, where do you think the Bible, the Lord, puts a lot of emphasis? First, he's talking about our relationship with Him, that vertical relationship, isn't he? He's talking about the work of service and multiplying ourselves, making disciples. And now he's talking about relationships. And now he's talking about horizontal relationships. That's between us and that's the one another. All of that emphasis in the New Testament. Relationships. So we have the how, the enabling. We have the which way or the where to. And now we have the with whom. With whom. Are you still in Matthew? Would you go back to chapter 7 with me, please? Matthew chapter 7. And look here at verse 12. Matthew 7, 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do it to them first. No. That's not what he said. He said, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And then what we mentioned just a moment ago in chapter 22, you remember the great commandment? We've seen the great commission in chapter 28. And here in chapter 22, we have what? The great commandment. What is that great commandment? Well, look at chapter 22 and verse 36. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. For this is the first and great commandment. We'd be doing well to just be able to keep the first commandment, wouldn't we? Even one day. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All of the Old Testament, he said, is summarized. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Relationships. We won't turn there, but you remember in John chapter 13, right toward the end there, verses 34 and 35, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you what? That you love one another. Why? That the world may what? Recognize that you are my disciples. Pastor, it was a blessing this morning to come in and just hear all the chatter. It really was. I'll tell you, when the chatter stops, you might as well lock the door. Yep. Because people can't stand each other anymore. That's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. And that happens in local churches. As they say in Spanish, lamentablemente. It's very, very lamentable. But it happens. Boy, that's something. That's something that we ought to make as a resolution. And that resolution will revolutionize the local church, believe me. Joy. Peace. And what's represented by the cross? You don't have to put the word there, do you? Love. Love. And as Peter wrote, genuine love. Unfeigned love. That's sacrificial love, isn't it? Starts in the home, between the husband and the wife, with the children. And it's got to extend into the local church. It's a wonderful thing when you see the love of God expressed through service, the saints serving one another. In fact, you don't have to turn here either, but I'm going to read one verse from Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Just listen to this, please. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. The author says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward His name. The author is saying, God is taking notes. He knows when we're serving, expressing love. And this love is toward Him. He's the ultimate objective of our love. But notice how the love is expressed in the very same verse, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Interesting. When we serve one another, at the same time, what are we showing? Our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in John chapter 14, the Lord was speaking there in those verses 21 through 23, 24. He said, if you love me, obey my word. If you don't love me, you won't obey my word. Well, that's one way we express love toward the Lord Jesus, is whether or not we are in the scriptures with an intent to obey them, apply them to our lives. But here's another one. Serving one another. You see how this is a resolution? It can really, really revolutionize a local church. Amen? Let's just leave that. And let's go to... here's the resolution. That I will express the love of Christ in all my relationships. I resolve by the grace of God that I will express the love of Christ in all my relationships. And where does it start? In casa. at home. And then it's logically going to spill right over where? Into the church home, the local congregation. Amen. Number four is really numbers four and five, and that is attitude. Attitude. And the first one, if you want to call this number four, attitude regarding things, and then let's say number five, our attitude, I'm talking about our heart attitude regarding circumstances. You recall what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8? Do you remember the context there? He's talking about contentment. Contentment. And he said, if we have this and this, let us be content. In other words, we're going to be content if we have what? Food? And most of us have too much. Or too often. And the other is what? Clothing. If we have food and clothing, food and shelter, he said, be content. If you look at the debt of our nation, the corporate world, and individuals, you know what I think it says to us? We are not content. I will not deny myself anything, because if I don't have the money, okay, then I've got the plastic. Wow, it's a plague. It really is, and it all stems out of this not being content. I would say resolution number four might well be, by the grace of God, that I will be content with such material possessions that I now administer. Notice that I administer. Do we really own anything? Biblically speaking? No. We don't own anything. Everything that we are. Like the Apostle Paul told the Corinthians, I am what I am by the grace of God. And I have what I have, eh? By the grace of God. And God says we are administrators. Eh? And he expects us to be found, I was going to say, como? How? Faithful. That's what he requires of administrators, that we just be found faithful. And you understand, of course, this whole thing of, I can't remember the word now, Pastor. What are you talking about when you administer your treasure and your time and your talents? Thank you. Stewardship. And God requires that we be faithful. These are huge areas of our life. And we can't do this either. We can't do it well unless God extends his grace, that I will be content with such material possessions that I now administer. We're not talking about the fact that you have to turn down a promotion. If you have an opportunity to buy a better vehicle at a decent price and you've got the money to do it, no, we're not talking about that. We're talking about being what? Good stewards, yes, and being content. Content. Not like Rockefeller, one of the Rockefellers was reported to have said, well, how much money would it take for you to be content? Just a little more. No, there is not contentment to be found in things. And finally, content with my circumstances. We're going to end here before we give you folks an opportunity to respond. You remember that portion of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians? If you don't remember it, turn there, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Help your neighbor if your neighbor is not able to rapidly locate the portion of Scripture. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, well, there's just some neat things. all through here, starting with verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. But here we are, verse 18. In everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. An attitude of gratitude. When you start, as many of you have done, I'm sure, if you start to study this topic from one end of the Bible to the other, God puts tremendous, tremendous emphasis upon this point, being thankful. If we are thankful in our circumstances, what are we in effect doing besides glorifying God? Why are we glorifying God, or how are we glorifying God? What are we saying to God if we are genuinely thankful? And we make that just part of our character, to be thankful, a thankful person. We are acknowledging that God is in control. Amen? If not, what are we saying to God? I can do it better. Think about that. You shortchanged me. You don't understand me. You don't know me. Or my life, my situation is unique. We'll be like the prophet in the Old Testament. I'm the only one left. I'm the only one who has not bowed the knee to Baal. Really? You see how your life will just be all taken up with this me, me, I, me, me, I. It's an I, right? Wow. And you know what? It's true that some folks by nature tend to be more thankful than others. But that doesn't excuse the rest of us in nada, in nothing. No. Nope. It says, this is the will of God concerning you, that you be thankful. How many of you fellas, when was the last time you thanked the Lord? Don't raise your hand, you'll be in trouble. Or maybe you better raise your hand, you'll be in trouble. Last time you thanked the Lord for your wife. When was the last time the parents thanked the Lord for their children? There's a test. No, I'm only kidding, kids. Have you thanked the Lord for your pastor? For the deacons, the teachers? Have you thanked the Lord for all the local officials? Thank the Lord for our national leaders? Thank the Lord for the supervisor at your work? That's another story. Well, here's the resolution. That by God's grace, I will develop the habit of giving thanks in all my circumstances. All right, let's review them quickly. And then here's the opportunity I'm going to give you folks, because we gotta quit here. Normally, we'd just be getting warmed up. In the Spanish culture, we have a different concept of time. I'm going to read these again. And then let's just pretend that we're all in Walmart. But instead of just picking and choosing, let's just take these five. And with each one, in the sincerity and the privacy of your own heart and mind, ask the Lord not only to make that your resolution, but that by His grace, this will become your practice in this coming year. Could you do that? Do you want to do that? Well, here we go. Number one. Resolution number one. That by God's grace, I will walk each day in the fullness of the Spirit. I think instead of reading them all, what we'll do is just stop. We'll pause, Pastor, and I'm going to ask the folks if they'll bow their head and if they'll pray. That's it. Let me repeat it. Resolution number one. That by God's grace, I will walk each day in the fullness of the Spirit. Remember, these are not, really, from God's standpoint, these are not optional. After I go through this, I'm going to ask the pastor then to lead us to close the however he wants. But let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Here it is again. That by God's grace, I will walk each day in the fullness of the Spirit. Number two. Resolution number two. That by God's grace I will make Christ the King of my life and allow His character to be reproduced in me. That I will make Christ the King of my life and allow His character to be reproduced in me. Number three, that by God's grace, I will express the love of Christ in all my relationships. That by God's grace, I will express the love of Christ in all my relationships. Number four, that by God's grace I will be content with such material possessions that I now administer. That I will be content with such material possessions that I now administer. And number five, I resolve that by the grace of God, I will develop the habit of giving thanks in all my circumstances. I will develop the habit of giving thanks in all my circumstances. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this opportunity to share with these folks here. Help us, Lord, to put these things into practice. Put them in shoe leather, Lord. And we know that you will do the rest. Thank you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.